The Island Digest is a sampling of the stories in this week's Journal of the San Juans, Islands Sounder, and Islands Weekly, which are on newsstands now. The January 25th edition is brought to you by Orcas Center. I'm Caleb Summers. Headlines from the week of January 25th, 2023. Vikings eye playoffs. Sitting down with prosecutor Amy Vera. Islanders honor Buffum for four decades of coaching the Lobos. Plus, choice excerpts from the Sheriff's Log. First, from the Islands Sounder, Vikings Eye Playoffs, by Jefferson Freeman, Orcas High School student. We are now just 2 weeks away from playoff basketball at Orcas Island High School. Both the boys' and girls' teams are in a prime position to make runs when it comes to the district tournament and maybe even beyond that. The boys sit at 12-6 and are ranked 12th in the state RPI. Of those six losses, only one has come with both Diego Lago and Aiden Murray available. It was a loss to an Overlake team that is ranked number 7 in 2A. Two classifications above Orcas. The girls have fought their way to 6-8 and are peaking at the perfect time, despite the fact that almost half of their varsity team has missed significant time with injuries. Over the last week, the Vikings hosted Darrington and made the weekend trip to Linwood to face Cedar Park. The Darrington game went well for the girls as they handled them 50-61. The boys struggled against a team that had no business in that game, but eventually pulled away for a 65-43 win. Matthew Eggenberg led the way with 17 points. Cedar Park would look even better for the girls as they pulled off a dominant 56-4 victory. The boys' game would be another blowout as it finished 65-27. Diego Lago put up an impressive 27 points and now sits only 43 points from 1,000 total in his career. The Vikings are hosting LeConnor for their senior night on Tuesday before traveling to Concrete on Thursday before finishing the regular season with a trip to Friday Harbor. From the Journal of the San Juan Islands, sitting down with prosecutor Amy Vera. For as long as San Juan County prosecuting attorney Amy Vera can remember, she was drawn to the legal profession. "I don't know why, but it has always been my thing," she said, adding that she used to draw up contracts for family members. Vera received her BA from Western Washington University and a JD from the University of Minnesota Law School. Last November, she was elected to be the new prosecuting attorney, replacing Randy Gaylord, who retired in December. She was officially sworn into office on December 31st by District Court Judge Carolyn Jewett, who worked in the prosecuting attorney's office prior to being elected judge. On January 5th, Vera was sworn in once more, this time by Superior Court Judge Katie Loring, along with the slate of elected officials. Vera moved to San Juan from Wenatchee, Washington, more than a decade ago, after being hired by the San Juan County Prosecuting Attorney's Office as its land use deputy attorney. In Wenatchee, Vera practiced in the area of housing, land use, and municipal law. Her position in San Juan County was a rare find in Washington State. In fact, a majority of Washington State prosecuting attorneys' offices only have one civil deputy attorney. That attorney may handle everything from county contracts and lawsuits to land use matters. San Juan County, according to Vera, is unique because the prosecuting attorney's office has the same number of civil attorneys as criminal ones. The island's vast 400-plus miles of shoreline require additional laws to protect them, which translates into additional assistance from prosecutors to enforce those laws. The job was exactly what Vera had been looking for, and over the years, she has made this community home. Throughout the duration of working in the office, Vera has watched as her teammates developed from being split between a criminal team and a civil team into a cohesive unit. Foreseeing his retirement somewhere on the horizon, Gaylord mentioned the idea of Vera running for prosecutor around 2015. It had never occurred to her. "The more I thought about it, the more excited I got," Vera said. Looking ahead through 2023 and beyond, she would like to continue Gaylord's good work and carry on his legacy. However, the office faces challenges on the criminal side with new laws coming down. The Blake decision in 2020 that has led to the decriminalization of most drug crimes is one example. "One thing we will be doing is working on those changes," Vera said, clarifying that she isn't complaining about the changes and supports ensuring getting people the help they need. The laws mean an adjustment, however, on how these cases are handled. "It has been a major shift in how we prosecute. It will all work out, but we do need to adapt and re-examine our tools," she explained. The biggest challenge she sees the county facing is housing. While the council works to tackle the looming crisis, Vera said the prosecuting attorney's office is there to help with any legalities. Providing civil advice to the county council, department heads, and elected officials is part of the job of the prosecutor's office. The office also works on behalf of Washington State in both adult and juvenile criminal matters and provides victim services for victims of crimes, as well as their families. They also assist the state attorney general in child support matters. Vera will also serve, as Gaylord did, as county coroner. A coroner is an official who identifies unknown persons who have died in their jurisdiction. Coroners also have the ability to order or conduct inquests into causes of death. When asked what qualities make a good prosecutor, Vera said, "An even temper, calm, measured, thoughtful." In other words, prosecutors should not act emotionally or hot-headedly. In general, Vera hopes to keep the office out of the media. "While big cases may make the news," she said, "there is a saying that states a prosecutor's office is doing a good job when people don't know they are doing it." And she believes there is truth to that. When asked what takeaways she learned from Gaylord, Vera was quick to mention his leadership methods. "I always appreciated Randy's hands-off management style. He never micromanaged, which allowed deputy attorneys to own their work," Vera said. "One thing that has always been great about the prosecuting attorney's office is the people who work there. I hope that continues under my leadership." From the Islands Weekly, Islanders honor Buffum for 4 decades of coaching the Lobos. By Samantha Olson. After more than 40 years of leading Lopez Islands basketball teams, M.R. Buffum has retired. On January 6th, the PAC, Lopez Islands' nonprofit booster club, held a ceremony following the boys' basketball game versus Cedar Park. And what a game it was! Lopez ended up losing a close one at the end, but Buffum was the star of the night. Buffum was born and raised on Lopez. He played basketball and other sports for the Lobos. He started his coaching career in 1975 and 76, his senior year of high school, as the girls' coach. This started his nearly 45-year coaching career for Lobos basketball. His first trip to state was with the Lady Lobos in 1982. His next trip would be with his 2010 boys team, and again in 2019. The celebration had the gym packed. His 2 sons, Jason and Alex, who both played for him, were able to surprise him, as well as many alumni, friends, and community members. Alex and Jason, as well as his athletic director niece, Marina Maylander, spoke to the crowd about their time growing up and playing under him. The PAC presented him with a plaque and many other gifts to show their appreciation. They hung a banner with pictures of every year he coached. 45 years is an amazing commitment. We felt that we needed to celebrate that level of dedication, the time and impact he has had, not just on Lobos basketball, but on each and every player he has coached and mentored in the gym, is priceless. The PAC has requested that the gym be named after him and hopes to hear back soon. We can't think of anyone more deserving. Even after all he has given, his response was, "I couldn't have done it without all these people." It's important to celebrate and hold up those who give so much of their time and effort to our children and our sport. Thank you to Buffum for all of his years of service, and thank you to all of those who came and made this such a special night for him. Selections from the San Juan County Sheriff's Log. On January 11th, a Lopez deputy responded to a residential burglary call. Upon investigation, a door that had previously been held shut by a thin piece of string came detached, and the door swung open during the night. Nothing in the home was missing, and there were no signs of entry. A deputy on San Juan Island took a report of a juvenile found in possession of some suspicious items. A report was completed and forwarded to Juvenile Services for review. On January 12th, deputies were dispatched to the sound of two people arguing loudly at a Friday Harbor residence. Upon investigation, it was found to be a verbal disagreement and the parties were separate. There were no signs of assault. On January 13th, an Orcas woman called to report her trash can had been stolen for a second time. A report was written. On January 14th, Lopez deputies responded when a vehicle crashed on Center Road, causing substantial property damage. The responsible party was located and arrested for hit and run, driving under the influence, and driving while license suspended. Deputies on San Juan Island responded to numerous noise complaints for a quinceañera being thrown at the fairgrounds. The property was rented and under contract for the specified event. The contract did not specify abiding by county noise ordinance rules or state a specific ending time. A report was completed. I hope whoever it was had a wonderful birthday party. On January 16th, a deputy in Friday Harbor received a report of possible threats. It was determined that a neighbor was upset about a fence on the reporting party's property. This concludes the January 25th edition of the Island Digest. This edition is brought to you by Orcas Center. Orcas Center is your place for fun and intrigue this winter, with live concerts, performances, art openings, and more. To check out upcoming events and purchase tickets, visit www.orcascenter.org. Thank you for listening to the Island Digest, a small sampling of what's in your local print newspapers this week. The Journal, Sounder, and Weekly rely upon advertising, subscriptions, and donations to support our mission of high-quality community journalism. To contribute, visit our websites or email publisher Colleen Smith Summers at csmith@soundpublishing.com. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next week for more local news from San Juan County, Washington. I'm Caleb Summers.